Beasley Media Group, BMI, and HD Radio present 100 years of radio, 100 years of hit makers, where we celebrate a century of hits written by some of the greatest songwriters of all time.
Hey, this is Brian Ives, and I'm the managing editor of Beasley Media, and I'm hosting a series of interviews with hip-hop's biggest songwriters and producers. We're digging deep, talking about some of their greatest songs. You may not know their names, but you know their hits. This week, we're talking with Sonny Digital. He's written songs for Travis Scott, 2 Chainz, and 50 Cent, just to name a few. Check it out. Let's talk about the song Racks, which I think was a really big, important one for you by YC and Future.
Yes, yes, yes. Most definitely was. It was the one that started everything.
So tell me about it. You know, when did you write it? Did you write it with those particular artists in mind? How did it come about?
Well, we was everybody was still working to get on. Like, nobody was like really famous yet. Like, when we all got that song, like, everybody was brand new. Like, I was new to the scene. YC was new to the scene. Future was, he wasn't new to the scene, but he wasn't who he is today. He was,
right.
He was still like building it up. But he was kind of like the leading force in that though, in this part. You know what I'm saying? But yeah, it wasn't really too much to it though. It was more so more than nothing planned. Like, I didn't really know YC. I didn't know Future at the time either though. Like, it was more so everything, like, the stars just kind of aligned. Like, all the right people connected at the right time and made the right song. And, you know, it just kind of set the tone for the next decade type thing though. I think it was just a song. I feel like that was just a song that kind of opened up the doors for the next flood of what was about to happen.
Sure. But like you say, you know, you're new to the scene. Future, people who knew hip-hop knew who Future was. He wasn't the big star that he is. But for somebody like you who's new, getting a song recorded and Future's on it has got to be a big deal when you're just starting out.
I mean, Future wasn't that big either, to be honest, at that time. Like, so it wasn't at that time. It wasn't, like, just mind-blowing to me, like, I got a song with Future. Like, you know what I'm saying? It was mostly like, it was kind of like, you know, even kind of like how it is today, just, like, doing a song with, like, somebody and it was good, you know? But, like, you know, Future used to be signed to Rocco. Rocco, he was more so, like, at the time, he was more popping at the time, you know what I'm saying? And so, like I was, that's my favorite rapper, really, to be honest, though. Rocco, like, one of my favorite rappers and stuff. So, like, whenever he hop on my stuff, that's when I was, like, kind of, like, more excited, though, you know? And Future was kind of, like, his artist at the time, though, so he was trying to, like, throw him in a mix and stuff. So it was kind of, you know, it was like we was all coming up at the same time, so it wasn't like, he knew who I was to be excited to be working with me. I didn't know who he was to really be excited to be working with him. And same with YC too. You know what I'm saying? Like, it was just kind of like we all got together, kind of made a song. We didn't make the song together. I made the beat and I sent it to YC, and then YC he paid Future to get on it at the time. He was moving, but he wasn't like I said, he wasn't like how he was at this time, though, like right now.
Sure,
like,
sure.
When I started working with him, that's when I like really started to learn about Future. I had been seeing him like with Rocco and like Rocco videos though, but I never had knew who he was though.
And so at the time, you know, did that song take off pretty quickly in your mind from the time that you wrote it to the time that it got out to radio and every place else? Like, was it a song that sort of changed your life at the time?
It wasn't like, at the time, it wasn't like, it was life changing, but it wasn't like, it was good life changing, but it was also learning life changing though. You know, like, at the time, I had just signed like a kind of bad publishing deal, whatever. like when all that stuff transpired, it kind of everything came to the light though, and it let me know what was what. You know what I'm saying? When real money started getting involved, that's when all the real business started to come to the light, and you know that's when I started to figure out what kind of situation I was in though. So, like, it was good because I started making money though, but it wasn't as much as I was supposed to be making either though. You know.
Right.
But it was better than where I was at. So, you know, I was still happy that at least we got the wheels on the car rolling, you know, because I wasn't doubting myself as a producer, though. I knew I can produce, you know, I knew I could make more. You know, I just had to have that first one to kind of get people to believe in everything else I was going to be doing.
Was that the first song of yours that you ever heard on the radio?
Yeah, That was most definitely the first song that I heard of mine that was on the radio.
Do you remember where you were? What the situation was?
Yeah, I was in the car. I remember I was in the car. It was actually Greg Street who played it. I was I forgot where I was on the way to, but I remember exactly where I was at vividly on the highway, though, because I was just most like surprised, like, damn, I'm hearing my song on the radio just on some humbug, though, you know. Yeah, I was in Atlanta. I know I was on the highway driving. I was up 85, driving up 85, coming like close to where the Varsity is, like in that area. And I remember just Greg Street had played it, though. Greg Street played a big role in that on that song, too. He was playing that a lot, like. He played that a lot, you know.
And, when you first heard it being played, was there somebody who you called or texted or anything? Like, you're like, oh, my God, you're not going to believe this. I'm on the radio.
I can't remember, to be honest.
Fair enough.
I can't remember, to be honest. I know I was in the car with somebody because I wasn't driving, but I was in the car with somebody. I was in the passenger seat. So I probably was just sharing my excitement with that person in the car. But I don't quite remember, though. I don't think I called anybody, though.
Tell me about Tuesday with I Love McConan.
Got some club going up on the Tuesday. Got your girl in the car and she choosing. Club going up on the Tuesday. Got your girl in the car and she choosing.
That was... Tuesday was... Well, I'm just going to say, like, the whole McConan project in a whole was just something that... I personally like, you know what I'm saying? I personally liked it myself, so it wasn't like I was looking for to do anything like crazy. Even though, you know, that's what we are at the end, hope though, but I wasn't doing it with any intentions though. I just wanted to make something that I liked at the time though. So when we was doing that, it was coming out like that. Like, it was like everything we was making was just like effortlessly. So it was just like the vibe was just, it was so cool. It was just good. Like, we was making cool songs and we just vibe too. And, you know, and then it started to transcend with people though too. But I didn't think people was going to like with it like heavily, like how I did and how me and Metro did and TM and everybody who produced on it. I didn't think nobody was really going to with it like how we did though. But like I said, I was just working on it just because I really liked it though. I liked what he was doing. So, that was that, and everything in that situation just kind of transpired just kind of like quick as hell. Like, honestly, we thought that the I Don't Sell Molly was going to be the single. It was in my eyes, that still was kind of like a bigger song than Tuesday. It just didn't get that feature like how Tuesday had got though, you know. But when I go to the colleges or anywhere to play and not play the I Don't Sell Molly no more, that's the one that go up the most though. But the whole, it was all like a series of songs though. Like, that was a song we was focusing on, and then Drake called About Tuesday. And so that's when the focus had shifted from the I Don't Sell Molly to the Tuesday song though, when Drake hopped on that one though. That wasn't initially the single though. You know, that wasn't what we was gunning for though at all though. But that just happened to be the one. Like, it was real simple though. It wasn't nothing to it though. Like just keep in mind, like, I was still kind of like, when McConan happened, I was kind of like, both my feet was kind of wet in the game at that time already, by that time. Mm. And so, like, people are, everybody in the industry already kind of, they already kind of knew me as producing everything, being for producing and stuff. So it wasn't hard to kind of like see what I had going on and reaching out though, or, you know, seeing what was going on through me in Atlanta and stuff though. Because I had everybody around me too, you know what I'm saying? I had Metro and everybody around me at the time though. You know, so Drake just reached out and asked if he can get on the song. And then, you know, Metro was popping too at the time too. Metro had hella shit going on too at the time. So it was like, it was like what we was doing was being seen though. But we just didn't think that, I didn't think that it was just gonna resonate with people like as well as it did though. Like, you know, I was kind of shocked at that part though. You know what I'm saying? But then again, I was trying to like, keep in mind though that this is kind of like my job, what I do though, so I might be good at kind of picking out that people like.
But I guess, yeah, as a producer, I mean, you make beats, you put together a track, you send it out, and then it's like, you didn't know that Drake was going to be on it, but Drake being on it changes where that song's going to be heard.
Yeah, for sure. That going to be heard everywhere. yeah, I was just I was actually on Twitter yesterday, and I seen Kanye, he had done an interview with Nick Cannon, and he was saying like, yeah, He said something about, and people wouldn't feel it unless they was in these shoes though. But he said any record that he co-produced with anybody, that probably was their biggest record though. I was like, damn, bro. I was like, man, that's kind of far from true. You know, like, as far as, like, you want, it was just kind of a big statement, though, for somebody who done produced with you, though, and, you know, I produce records with other people, though, and I was like, man, that Drake feature, that's what really, that really do numbers. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's life-changing, like, that you know, like, you know, shout to Kanye and everything he doing, too, like, but that, the Drake features, you know, when he come through and, you know, he, like, that changed some around for you, though. You know what I'm saying? Not to say Kanye West won't, but that Drake will surely do, and it do quick.
I mean, we all know he says stuff like that kind of all the time. And actually, the next song I wanted to ask you about was Birthday Song, which Kanye was on. When I die, bury me inside the Gucci style. When I die, bury me inside the Louis style. All I want for my birthday. So I call him Big Booty. Talk about that. And I mean, it's interesting that he would make that comment that you just said, though, just because it's like, it sort of takes away a little bit from what other people contribute to. It's not only about him.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? And like, that, you know, and then I don't know, like, when he said it, was like, I said something. I had to say something about it. Not say something just about it. I just expressed how I felt. But I only did that because it's like, it just felt like a direct shot though. But people who haven't produced with him wouldn't understand though. They're just gonna look at him as Kanye West, the big producer and stuff though. But it's like,
right.
when we talking about, you know, co-producing and everything though, it's an everybody effort though. It ain't just you making it the biggest though. Even though you got the biggest name, that don't mean that you're making it the best though. You know, kind of adding Mike Dean. Mike Dean put the sauce on top of everything, you know?
But you could also argue too that Drake is just about as big as Kanye or was at that point. You know, I mean, Drake's kind of the biggest right now and has been.
Of course, you know what I'm saying? That was my point. I was like, man, it just felt like, I was like, man, that's like a direct shot at everybody who done worked with you. Like, man, that was my biggest record. Like, my biggest record wasn't with you, even though I did have a big record with you. It wasn't the biggest one, though, you know. But, I mean, it was cool. It was cool, though. I'm not really even tripping, though, but it's just, you know, just, and they got to chill out a little bit, though, man, you know. We still working, too. The little people still working, too.
You know? Well, tell me about working on Birthday Song, 2 Chainz and Kanye.
Actually, to be honest, that song, I used to f*** with Gorilla Zoe. I still f*** with Gorilla Zoe heavy. That's still like my bro. So me and Gorilla Zoe actually did we did some songs, and we actually used one of them beats on there. So we used the Birthday Song beat, and my manager, me and Gorilla Zoe shared the same manager, which is Rico. I had sent Rico the beat, too, and Rico ended up sending that same beat to 2 Chainz, and 2 Chainz ended up using it. And then, he hit up Gorilla Zoe and asked Zoe if he can use the beat, and it was my song. It was cool. I was like, yeah, I don't really care. I was like, yeah. But then he said he'd just do a verse for a song which he did for us, you know. And you know, that was the beginning of that beat. And then from there, Rico had sent the beat to 2 Chainz, and then 2 Chainz did whatever he had done, which was all the parts he had done. And then I don't know if you remember, I forgot what year it was, but when you remember when Kanye West came to South by Southwest, I think 2 Chainz might have brought him out.
Yeah.
They had done that, and then after the after they done whatever they done, he had came back to the bus, and then I came back to 2 Chainz bus and done the verse for him, I believe. If I'm correct, that's I recollect that's what happened. He came back and did the verse, and that's how that song came about. And that was the first draft. That's when I heard about it. And then I remember Kanye West had started producing on it, and I remember was it KY? I think I was talking to KY. That's his engineer. It was either KY and 2 Chainz or KY and Techniques. I think it was KY and Techniques. I was talking to them, and they said that Kanye West had took out a whole bunch of shit. Took out, like, he took out the original sound and took out a whole bunch of stuff, though. So KY had to fly out there and go put back in a lot of the stuff that I had put in there. You know what I'm saying? So, like, I don't know, but it was a whole little process, though. It was cool, though. I wasn't tripping about anything. Like, I was really just most so happy about it. I just wanted to be out. Like, I was just happy to be a part of the process. Like, it was just cool. Like, it was, especially, like, for my career, too, at the time. Like, it was like, okay, I'll keep on going up. Like, I got one hit after another. I'm just topping myself, you know what I'm saying, every time. So, you know, it was real good, you know. It was real, real good. And then that's how I met Kanye for the first time.
I was going to ask that, if you'd ever actually, like, sat with him.
Never sat down with him. I ain't never sat down with him and, you know, never worked with him and everything. We didn't sit down or anything, but I had met him that day at the video shoot. 2 Chainz had introduced me to him, and we had talked briefly. He asked me, did I like what he did to the beat? You know, I remember that, and, you know, I was like, yeah, that shit's tight, you know. So, but that's, like, the only time I met him. I haven't... From that point, I ain't really never even worked with him from there. You know, I ain't even seen him since then, to be honest. So, like I said, I ain't tripping. I'm cool with what I'm doing right now.
Sure, sure. So, it's kind of weird, though. I mean, you write this beat, you start making this song, and then eventually it makes its way to 2 Chainz and Kanye's on it, which was not even your intent necessarily for it when you created it in the first place.
Yeah, I never have no intentions on any beats that I make, though, because I never know where they're going to go. I just be surprised every time. Like, you know, like, I can't really guess what anybody's going to like. That's what I kind of learned being a producer after all these years. Like, people just kind of like what they like, you know, and usually they like what I don't like, you know what I'm saying? And so as far as, like, I'm saying, like, beats that I make that I like, but I don't think that they would like, don't know what they're like, though, you know, so.
Got it. So I was going to ask, you know, one of my favorite songs that you've done is Stargazing by Travis Scott. Rolling, 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 got me stargazing. Yes! Sleeping on perfume like the Barbie. Whatever I got, it got me going crazy. Psychedelics got me going crazy. And so in other genres, right, it would be like, hey, this big star is making a record. He's looking for songs. He's looking for beats. Let me write something for this guy. But that's not what you do. You just make beats and they sort of land where they land.
Kind of, sort of. It's different with Travis, though.
Right. So talk about that song then, Stargazing.
Well, even just Stargazing and all the prior work that me and Travis done before, like, it's a whole different process. Like, when we work with him, when we work with him, he'll come, we lock in with him. And whatever we make, like, during that time, just kind of, like, just for whatever he's working on and stuff, though. So it's, like, it's kind of different from me making beats at home and versus me sending them out and stuff, though. Like I said, I make them with no intentions. I don't know where they're going to. I'm not even going to guess. I'm just making everything I like, though. But when I go work with him, I know what I'm working on, though. So it's an intention for all these beats, though. You know what I'm saying?
Mm.
And so, like, I kind of go on with a vibe. I already got an idea to what I know he at the least won't like, you know what I'm saying? So I kind of stay away from that, though, you know what I'm saying? But I don't necessarily know what he gonna like at this time, though. But like I said, I know what don't like, you know what I'm saying?
Right,
so
right.
I just stay away from that, though, you know what I'm saying? I just started off like that. But
so with him, it's a little more collaborative because you have sort of a relationship and partnership.
Yeah, it's way more collaborative. Like that's why I really enjoy working with Travis, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's because it's like we actually working. It's not just play a beat, go. It's like we starting everything from scratch on up, like, you know what I'm saying? And that be like, you know, it just kind of make you feel like you kind of I ain't gonna say needed, but you involved in the process, though. You know, you feel like a part of the process, so it make you want to work harder, you know what I'm saying? Make you want to go harder, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's just cooler that way. But
and that song is so interesting because it's sort of in the middle of the song, it sounds like it becomes another song.
It do. There's 2 different producers on this song. Like, let me clarify that. Like,
okay.
It's me and 30 Rock. You know what I'm saying? So 30 Rock did the second half where everything changed up and it started going crazy. You know what I'm saying? Like, it just sound like you on a crazy roller coaster. He did that part, though. I did the first half of it, though, like the whole intro part and everything. You know, I think a lot of people people probably had it confused, though, because they not even used to me making, like, that sound like that or whatever, though. You know, people be used to me making, like, turned up bass type stuff, so they just assumed that I made that second half, though. But nah, that was 30 Rock on the second half, and I was on the first half. But
I mean, it must have been exciting, though, too, to have the opening track on that album. There was a lot of anticipation for it, and when it came out, it just seemed like it just exploded instantly.
Yeah, that's a fact, though. But, you know, we always been working, though. It's kind of regular at this point for us, though. Like, and even me having that first track, I had the first track on not the Birds in the Trap. I didn't do anything on that album. I worked on it, but I didn't make anything on that one, though.
Right.
But the album previously before that, though, I had done the first song on that one, too. And so I can't remember what album it was, though. Whichever one, whichever one had that pornography, I had done that one too. So like me being at the beginning or at the end of them or somewhere in it, I was just kind of used to it though. It was like, just as long as we make it on there somewhere, though, I'm not really even tripping though, you know, like. I let them do what they do and I do my job though. But it does feel good though for people to hear my beat at the beginning though. But it also would be better though too. I ain't gonna say it'd be better though, but like if it was like old times though, and people heard the tags and stuff though, so they right. know who's who right. instead of them just kind of guessing and just putting together their own assumptions. But you know, it would have been cool if, you know, you had your tags and stuff, though. But then again, the whole mystery factor is still cool to me, too. Like, people can go do their research and go find whatever they need to find, you know?
I feel like the biggest fans in any genre of music are going to, like, look into it and figure out who played that on that track, who wrote that, and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, so, and even still, though, you know, even, like, say with Travis tracks, though, you can see all that, though. But if you go look at his credits, there's a lot of people on there, though, so you really can't differentiate who did what and what though, you know what I'm saying? You kind of got to go with your past knowledge of how to produce and make whatever though, you know what I'm saying? And kind of guesstimate though, because if you just look at the credits though, you wouldn't know still though, you know.
Sure. Talk about the song that you worked on, Up Like Trump. Up like Donald Trump, up, face swing like num chucks, she gon' chew you up, yeah, twerk like she from rap, hey, don't get me wild up, soldiers at attention.
So the first time, it was like a long time ago when Mike Will, he was telling me about Ray Sherman and stuff doing. So like I used to have a crib back in like downtown Atlanta, and I told him to come through. So they ended up coming through. So this is my first time ever meeting them, ever linking with them. So Sway and Jimmy come through. Jimmy, he was knocked out the first time we met though. Like he was tired as from whatever he had just done though. And so I'm with Sway, and me and Sway, you know Sway make beats too, bro.
Yeah.
And so we started making a beat together, which actually turned that hard. It was a long time ago. I was surprised. I was like, okay, we do. We sitting there cooking up, we going back and forth, and then I know they had picked out that beat down Up Like Trump beat, you know what I'm saying? That's the same night they had picked that beat, and then I guess they went back and recorded it though, and that was that. That was the first time we ever met, and you know, the first time we met, that was, it just came out from, we came out with that though. I wasn't there when they recorded it though, but I was just there from like when they picked it out to when it came out. We went up to New York and shot the video too, like, you know, it was a cool little process, though. I rocks with Ray Sherman, man. Them my dogs right there. Like, they didn't kept it solid from the jump, like, all the way up until now, man. They keeping it solid, like, never changed.
That song is funny, too. Obviously, they did it well before he was president. And I know they sort of said, we're not really, we don't really like him anymore. But how do you feel about producing a song that, you know, with that subject matter? And I know that you aren't really part of the lyrical process.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really care, you know, I don't really care, I'm not tripping at all, like, it's not like it's a support song, you know what I'm saying?
True enough.
You know, like, it's just a song, you know, with just some context to it, though, you know?
I mean, I guess it's about, you know, like, before he was president, it's like, hey, here's some rich, famous guy who puts his name all over everything, who knew exactly what he would do to the country in a couple of years.
I think it just rhymed, though.
Right. Let me ask you about one last song, then. 50 Cent's I'm the Man. That blow your mind right now. I ain't f*** around right now. Better get in line right now. I'll f*** around and die right now. Hope you understand that.
Well, you know, originally that was my song that I wrote for myself. I had put it out, and it was just a song that it was just kind of like near and dear to me though. But I had worked on it for like 2 weeks, just going back to back on it, just trying to figure it out and crack it, and just, you know, I was just nitpicking at it every day. It was like a song where I was like, okay, as soon as I get tired, I'm gonna stop. You know what I'm saying? So I was doing that for like 2 weeks straight, and then I remember the last thing I did to it after I recorded my vocals, had everything where I wanted it, and, you know, just had it sounded how I wanted. I had my my boy, a guitar player, come in. I had just actually met him on just like the Humbug, my boy Josh. He had came over, and I was like, bro, just play the guitars on here and just see what it sounds like. We played guitars, and that wrapped it up. I was like, okay, this song is a great song now. Okay, I produced it. I'm rapping on it. I'm like, okay, cool, I'm about to put it out. You know what I'm saying? So end up putting it out. I put it out on SoundCloud. It started doing numbers. Like, it started going up a little bit, though, but it was still a stigma on it, though, because I was a producer that was rapping, though. So people didn't really even understand it first when they seen it, though. So it's like, is he rapping or is he producing? You know what I'm saying? Mm. You know, and so they didn't really know, you know what I'm saying? Because at the same token, people ain't really heard my voice either, though. So they didn't know. So, it was a lot of basically like saying like, okay, this song good, but he's still a producer though too, you know. So it was like, they was like, okay, we like the song, but he's still a producer, we're gonna keep it there. So, you know, the numbers that went up on it, and then they kind of just like, at one point, they just kind of like just went in a standstill, you know what I'm saying? I was like, after a year putting it out. So I was like, okay, cool. After that song, I put out more songs, and so I had that song out, and I had other songs now at this point. And so I'm sitting there focusing on other songs, and then my manager hit me up, and he like, 50 and them like this song a lot. And I'm just kind of like, all right. And it was just that. That was the first conversation. It was just, they like the song. I was like, okay, like, I don't know what to do with this information, but all right, thank you. Like, you know, so a couple months go past again, and then they told me 50 Cent was coming down to Atlanta, and he wanted all the producers and stuff to come through the studio. So we all end up going down to the studio, and we're all playing the beats and everything, just going through beats. I played him hella beats, but he was just so stuck on the I'm the Man song. Like, any of all the beats I played him, he wasn't even really like on them. Like, he wanted to get on the I'm the Man song. The whole entire song. And I was like, man, this song been out for like a whole entire year. I'm like, man, this been out for a minute now. Like, I was just confused. I was like, man, dang. Like, I was like, okay, I know y'all gonna make it bigger than me too. So I'm like, I didn't mind selling it, because at this point it had already been out for a year, so it had done what it was gonna do.
Right.
And so I was like, okay, well, if y'all wanna buy it, I don't really mind. You can take everything. But I was like, just leave me on the hook though, like, so I can get my artist credits up though. You know what I'm saying? So it'll be 50 Cent featuring Sunny Digital, you know what I'm saying? Which he did. He kept his word. So I was on the original version. You know what I'm saying? But he did a remix version with Chris Brown, which was cool. I'm not even tripping though. I'm still on the production though too.
Sure.
And I'm still on the writing credits though. So I'm still kind of taking a monstrous cut out of everything though, as far as like percentage wise though. So as long as they keep on pumping up the song and they keep on doing like numbers, like I keep on doing good, like on the back end eating. So I was like, I'm not really tripping though. That's just something thrown to my belt too. So it was, for me, it was cool. I wasn't tripping at all. Like, I was like, okay, y'all take the song, it's been out for a year. You keep me on the hook, you know, so I can say I'm still featured as an artist on here. And we all win. You know what I'm saying? Like, it wasn't doing what it was gonna do with me, what it's gonna do with you. Like, I know you're gonna put it on Power, I know you're gonna put it places I couldn't put it in though. You know what I'm saying?
Right,
so
right.
It was like, you know, like, cool. Take it, run it up, do what you do, man. I'm not even tripping, bro.
So that's a real thing, though. Like, people thinking, oh, well, you're a producer, you can't rap, even though Dr. Dre's sold millions of records and Kanye's sold millions of records and even Pharrell's done it. People still think, like, if you're a producer, like, why are you on the mic?
Some people, you know, because they can't get it out of their head that they just like you as a producer.
Right.
Or like you, or however they like you. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, I ain't gonna lie, I've been guilty of that same too. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, you know, I ain't mad at them. I'm not mad at them at all. Like, you know, like I said, I'm guilty of it too. Like, it just, I think it's more so a natural human thing, though. You know, but it's just more of a show and prove consistency type of thing, though. But they'll come around eventually. You know, I'm not really tripping. It just take time. You know, it's just saying it's not gonna be overnight. Just like how it's producing is though. Like, this wasn't overnight. This damn near 10 years in the making. So, you know,
yeah.
I know, like, I get a little head start in the rap though, just because of where I'm at producing wise though. But it's not a major league jump. Like, I can't just completely just switch over and expect for everybody just to with me on that rapping though, you know, so just a slow transition.
So are you working on a record where it's like you are front and center, your face is on the cover and all that?
Yeah, I've been doing that, but it just, like I said, it's just the stigma of me being a producer though. It kind of make it hard for people to pay attention to it though, even though it's good, and I know it's good clearly, but it just, people would rather hear me as a producer versus a rapper, you know what I'm saying? Some people, not all people though, but you know, that's how people been listening to me for the last damn near 10 years, you know what I'm saying? It's kind of hard to sway people from looking at me in that direction though. But then again, it also, it's kind of easy, but it's kind of hard though, because it's like, it's kind of like y'all subliminally like me anyways though. You know what I'm saying? Like, y'all just don't know it though. You know, if you like that 50 Cent song, then you really with me, you know? That song almost, I think it should be platinum by now, so you almost really with me, but y'all just don't know it yet though, you know?
So what's the next thing you've got going though? Is it like a record of your own, or are you making records for other people next? Like, what's the next thing we'll hear from you?
I'm dabbling in both. Like, at this point though, you know, I figured now I kind of made it known. I feel like enough people know that, like, I'm rapping, but I'm also still producing too though, you know what I'm saying?
Sure.
I just shifted people focus on me and stuff, you know? You know what I'm saying? That's what I just did for a temporary amount of time, though. But as far as producing, like, that's just something that I can't never let go. Like, I can produce any day, all day. I can do that all the time. When I don't feel like rapping, I can produce. You know what I'm saying? Like, so, like, at this point right now, I'm just juggling both of them, though. Just doing whatever I feel like doing, you know? Like, if I feel like rapping one day, I'm going to rap. You know, if I feel like producing, I'm gonna produce though, you know. I can't really call what I'm gonna do. I can't call what's next though. I don't ever know what's next, you know.
Right,
I know I got records in the cut, but I don't ever know when they're gonna come out, so you know, and the way the creativity be flowing, that might flow, and I might make some fire and I'll go out the phone with you and might think about dropping it tomorrow or some though, you know.
Sure.
The way 2020 going, you can do whatever you want, so it's like,
that's true too.
You know, I don't ever know. I'm just going off the feeling right now. I'm just going off the feeling and the vibe though.
Sure. Last question then. I ask everybody this. You know, have you ever been in a place, whether it's club, restaurant, store, whatever, a song you produced is on the PA and you can see people are digging it and they have no idea they're standing next to like the guy who helped make it?
Oh, that happened like all the time. Anytime. That shit happened like so much, bro. Like, it just happened, you know, it happened a lot, you know, but then it's a fair balance though. Like, it's a fair balance. Like, I'm not going to lie. Like, my shit is so like fairly balanced out to where it's like, it's going to be half people who don't know what's going on, and it's going to be half that's going to know what's going on. And they're going to be trying to inform the other people what's going on. While I'm sitting right there, I'm just trying to play it cool. And I don't even, I'm just observing what's going on. Like, I'm just, you know, but you know, like, it'd be that little mix though, but it's cool though. I'm happy about it. It's cool to be able to see how people react to, like, you know, like, it's cool. Like, it should be, it'd be cool as hell, you know.
Well, thank you for giving me the time. I appreciate it, and I hope to speak to you down the road, man.
No, for sure. I appreciate you, bro.
100 years of radio, 100 years of hit makers.
Thanks to Sunny Digital for spending so much time with us, and thank you for listening. Next week, we're talking to Chucks Chia Jenna. See you then.